Were you and I to have lived in the days of Jesus and his physical life on the earth, I think we'd had some problem with him. You know, it's never the God in heaven that's a bother to us. It's the God that's contemporary with us. Don't tell me you'd have left to have been with Jesus and you'd have been right with him all the time. I doubt it. For goodness sake, when he spit on the ground and played with his spit and stuck the mud balls in the man's eyes, spit on another man's tongue, and always went against the religious leaders of his day, just about all the time. Had we disagreed with him, and that had caused us to say, since I do not agree with your methods and sometimes your disposition, I will have to do business with God in some other way, you would not have done business with God. Jesus was clear to say that he was the way, the truth, and the life, and no man came to the Father but by him. In him dwelt all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. The Pharisees or Sadducees or anybody else trying to go around Jesus miserably failed. They may have done business with Scripture. They may have done business with religion. But apart from Jesus, there was no business with God. I want you to remember that. Now one day Jesus left. He handed off. He personally sent the Holy Spirit. He said, it's good for you. It's necessary for you that I go away. Because if I don't go, he won't come. But if I do go, I will send him to you. And then he made a great list of things the Holy Spirit would do. For 33 and a half years, Jesus was the only God on the planet. Since then, for almost 1970 years, there has been one God on the planet. Get it? The Holy Spirit. You may put your theological hat on and seek to prove me wrong. Go ahead. But you invite God to come to your church, he will come by the Holy Spirit. You invite Jesus to get into business among your people, he will come by the Holy Spirit. You ask him to come and live in you, he will come and live in you only by the Holy Spirit. He said in John 14, if anyone loves me, he will obey my teaching, and my Father will love him, and we will come and make our home in him. And within the context, we know that that only happens in this age by the Holy Spirit. Great segments of the church today have suffered from neglect and disregard, and in some cases, rejection of the Holy Spirit. And at the same time, preach Jesus and the fatherhood of God. But there is no effective teaching, there is no living teaching apart from the Holy Spirit. You may be a Bible scholar, but the word taught will never come alive apart from the ministry of the Holy Spirit. You may be an effective and articulate orator. You may be able to put together sermons in an unparalleled manner, but until the Spirit comes, you have engaged in oratory and not in power, because the Spirit comes in power, and the only power by which to do things is the Holy Spirit. I have a tear in my heart as I say to you what I'm about to say. I was saved in a wonderful Baptist church in a village town 56 years ago, 1943, almost 57 years. I didn't have one bit of discipleship or instruction. I was almost in the place where Apollos and his gang were. I had not so much heard that there was a Holy Spirit. Because I'd had an unfortunate encounter with extreme Pentecostalism, when I say extreme, I mean extreme. Just about three notches this side of snakes. Extreme. And it frightened me. And what they did was under the auspices of the Holy Ghost. It was one word to them, Holy Ghost. And so when I read the word, generally in King James, it's Holy Ghost. It's Holy Ghost. And it was ghostly. It was fearful to me. In the back of my mind, the paradox was I knew that what I needed, when I began to perceive that what had happened to me in salvation, if it were enough, I couldn't find the enough. I knew I was saved. I knew I was going to heaven. But there was a consuming, when I got in private, in a private place, there was a consuming dissatisfaction that if this is all there was, he got a bad deal by dying for me. God got a bad deal by emptying heaven of him. And I got a bad deal thinking that this was the answer to my weakness and the answer to my everything that I wanted but didn't seem to have. And yet, feeling that it involved the Holy Spirit, fear mastered me for more than 20 years. 20 years. I would give a fortune, if I had it tonight, to go back nearly 57 years and be told what I am about to tell you. It's precisely what I'm going to do. I would have understood it, and that's what I've tried to do. 10 years old, I don't know much, and I'm going to put it as simple as I can, as if I were a 10-year-old again. Would I understand it? Would I believe it? Would I enter in? And I tell you resoundingly, I would have happily, but nobody told me. I don't say this with anger. If there's intensity, don't misread it as anger. I said, I'll go to college and I'll find it there. They forgot to tell me. I hung on as if to say, I'll go to the seminary and I'll get it there. And I went to the seminary and I didn't see one required course on the Holy Spirit, the third person of the Trinity. And so I found me a catalog and went to the catalog and I found an elective course on the person and work of the Holy Spirit, a wonderful Baptist theologian and a wonderful book on the Holy Spirit, not one incorrect feature to it. And I just knew, sitting in the class one morning, the teacher would walk in and say, now, young students, today, we're going to talk about what it means to be filled with the Spirit. That wonderful experience when we began to move in places where human beings cannot go, began to know things that human beings cannot know, began to say things in ways that human beings cannot say them. Listen to me. Wake up to the fact that God never intended the Christian life to be lived by human beings. It never had been, it never will be, and it isn't happening now. The only one who can enable the living of the Christian life is the Holy Spirit, Christ in you by the Holy Spirit. There is no other Christian living. Don't be praying for victory if you don't want to do business with the Holy Spirit. He's the only one. He is the only one who represents Jesus Christ today. It didn't happen. So with a head full of knowledge, I went to my second church. I had a seminary church. You're going to laugh when I give you the name of it. It was New Hope Baptist Church number 3. But don't be mistaken. It was a wonderful church. And God did some wonderful things in it and through it. There were two others, one of them dead and one of them dying. And in 1957, I went to San Antonio to a church on the edge of the city, more country than my church was, in the elbow of the road between Ranger, Texas, and Caddo. I began to do the only thing I knew. I made A in preaching, and so I preached. I knew Greek and some Hebrew, and I began to study. I had homiletics, and I knew how to put sermons together. My dad had taught us to labor on the farm, and I went to work. First year, the church doubled. Second year, the church doubled. Third year, the church doubled. After about four doublings, I was pastoring one of the rapidest growing churches around, and I was absolutely barren. I said, God, if this is all there is, I want out. I didn't like myself, and I saw myself mirrored in the people to whom I ministered, and I didn't like them. In 1965, I had a remarkable experience. I want to tell you how patient the Holy Spirit is. Fearing Him and grieving Him for 20 years, He still did things in my life. In 1965, in the month of February, He let me know Jesus Christ as more than a name. I couldn't imagine what had happened. I had a revelation that was major. I saw that Jesus Christ was alive and living inside my being. I couldn't get over it. For the next 2, 3, 4 years, I'd start anywhere and head up and wind up with Christ in you. The fear of the Holy Spirit separated me from what the Christian life really is. Many of you have heard the name Bertha Smith. More Baptist preachers filled with the Holy Spirit because of her. And hundreds being filled now indirectly through her ministry. Every time somebody's filled with the Spirit through my ministry, Miss Bertha Smith stands up in heaven and says, yay. She was one of those Southern Baptist missionaries in North China, all of whom were filled with the Holy Spirit. And all over this country, she and I and others, conferences like this, saw hundreds and hundreds of preachers come into the filling. Now, what I'm going to do in the next few minutes, well, 65, 69, 1969, Miss Bertha came. She had three questions. Have you been born again? Have you been filled with the Spirit? Are you being filled right now? A little core of about 20 of us were gloriously filled with the Holy Spirit. Hey, don't get in a battle over semantics. I believe the first filling is the baptism. Coming upon of the Holy Spirit. And its result is the fullness of the Holy Spirit. Many fillings. It ought to be a constant filling. Miss Bertha didn't call it the baptism, but she had it. You think you're going to cry to God and say, God, I don't know what it is that I need, but please give me what I need. Not going to do it till you know what to call it. Call it the itch, but get it. You say, Brother Jack, I'm afraid. Okay. Just go on until your misery factor and your helplessness factor and your failure factor rises above your fear factor, and then get it. You're still worshiping nickels and noses and buildings, budgets, and baptisms more than this. If you're more careful for reputation than you are for what God might do in the extreme case. You're not ready. You're not ready. Just go on and try for another 5 years. You'll be all too glad when you see your church left high and dry in the rush of people moving by in the power of the Spirit. Joe, are we ready for the visuals? They're up there and we're ready to go. I really would like for you to, let's cut those lights. Can you see them pretty clear all over the place? Are they pretty clear? Good. All right. The baptism and fullness of the Spirit. Let's move on, please. Well, who is the Holy Spirit? Let's just be frank and honest about this. Would you read this with me? The Holy Spirit is. He is God. He is God here, okay? He is God here and now. Now, wait a minute, is He? Is He God here? How here is He? He's more here than you are. You're just here there, I'm just here here. Being here here can't be here there. Being there there, you can't be here. But He is everywhere here. More here than you are. He's here and now. God is here. The only way God can be here is by the Holy Spirit. Got it? Comprende? All right, here we go. He is God. He is God here. He is God here and now. He is the only God here and now. And He is the Spirit of the Father. He is the Spirit of Jesus. All right? Move on, please. He's going to go through this right quickly, so keep going. Things to keep in mind. Those are a little small. Some of you back may need to get glasses. Here we go. We are regenerated by the Holy Spirit. Give you a testimony now. We are indwelt by the Holy Spirit. We may bear the fruit of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, patience, self-control, goodness, gentleness, kindness, faithfulness. Anybody would want these character traits. Let me tell you, they are only in the Holy Spirit. You may have some natural qualities of goodness. You may have been taught well to obey your parents and live right. But these qualities are only born by the Spirit. Yours are not durable. They will collapse under pressure. But only through the Spirit are these kind of is this kind of spirit born, fruit born. All right, let's go on. Let's keep in mind these things now. Continue. We may be led of the Spirit or by the Spirit. We have access to the gifts of the Spirit. We have the anointing of the Spirit. We have the empowering of the Spirit. All this is ours. Now continue. I want you to get this. I want you to receive it. But the truth is that to appropriate all these, we must be filled with the Spirit. Look at it. Filled with the Spirit. Now look. Paul in Ephesians 5:18 says, be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. We'll be back there in a minute. If this were the only mention in the Bible of being filled with the Spirit, let me tell you, you and I ought to be filled with the Spirit. Were there no other mention of it in the Scripture, you and I ought to be filled with the Spirit. There is only one place in the Bible where it says you must be born again. And that simply means one mention, you must be born again. And if you're not born again, you're as lost as a goose in a hailstorm. All right, let's continue. Read it with me. There is evidence that aside from being saved, born again, converted to Christ, the most important issue is that of being filled with the Spirit. Now, in the 9th chapter of the book of Acts, Paul is smitten down. And he neared Damascus on his journey. Suddenly a light from heaven flashed around him. And he fell to the ground. He went into Damascus and Ananias came. Charles mentioned it. And he said, Brother Saul, the Lord that appeared to you sent me that you might receive your sight and be filled with the Holy Spirit. And he received his sight immediately. Let me tell you what I believe. I believe that the Holy Spirit came in a baptizing experience and he was healed at the same time. Some of you are going to get healed of wounds deep in your psyche. You're going to get healed of physical problems. You're going to get healed of terrible, inordinate fears. You're going to get healed when the Holy Spirit comes rushing in. And so they were filled with the Spirit. Paul was filled with the Spirit. His eyes were open, filled with the Holy Spirit. All right, let's continue, please. Questions. Let's just ask these questions. Some may have them, some not. But what is it? What is this filling? Who may be filled? What will happen when we are filled? How can I be filled? What about the controversy? Look at this. I want you to look at this next statement. The fullness of the Spirit. No subjects among modern Christians are more controversial than the baptism and fullness of the Spirit. For that reason, they've been severely neglected for most of our lifetimes. Whole denominations have remained uninformed and their people unfilled. I pray that you will not hear one criticism of a denomination these days. I hope you will not read into anything we say a lack of appreciation for our heritage, which is rich. I was led to Christ in a Baptist church. I was trained in training union from a bashful backward boy until I could at least give a part. I was trained in a wonderful school, in a wonderful college. And as far as I'm concerned, the best seminary in the world. You might have some argument, but a great seminary, great seminary. I don't have anything critical to say about them. But the sad truth is, listen to me and watch. Say it with me. You may disagree. I argued with myself on this. And the first time I put it up for view, I said, first I said, no fullness, little power. But I later changed it. You may have some argument, but listen, whether it's little power or no power, which would you rather have, power or little power or no power? Hey, that's a no-brainer, no choice. Listen, no fullness, no power. Read it with me. No fullness, no power. No fullness, no fruit. No fullness, limited growth. No fullness, weak discernment. No fullness, limited access to and exercise of the gifts of the Spirit. You may have in exercise some of the gifts of the Spirit, but without the Holy Spirit empowering you, backing you, urging you, leading you, you will either misuse these gifts or the use of them will wane in your mind and in your exercise. No fullness, low-level satisfaction, productivity, high-level frustration. Folks, I want to tell you, that is being demonstrated across the length and breadth of the evangelical church, on the mission field, at home, everywhere. There is a high-level frustration right now. There is burnout galore. And friend, I don't believe there is one problem we are having. Whether it's the critical congregation, whether it's folks restless or going into immorality, their homes breaking up, or a low level of giving that would not be cured with the coming of the Holy Spirit and a personal baptism and fullness of every member of your church. I personally do not think you ought to stop preaching it until every person in your church is filled, baptized, and filled with the Spirit. And then when somebody new comes in, just preach the sermon for them and let everybody else get filled again then, if you have to do it four times a month. I don't believe there is any experiencing of the kingdom of God without the Holy Spirit. Here's the scripture. The kingdom of heaven is not a matter of eating and drinking, but righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. It is a matter of record that a loss of kingdom mentality means that the church settles into indifference and petty squabbling, engaging in border wars and consuming most of its resources on itself and living fighting one another over the least of things. But let the kingdom of God come into view and we become kingdom thinkers, long-term thinkers, in it for the marathon. Our incentives are correct. And we rise as kingdom people. But there is only one way to become a kingdom people, and that's for the Holy Ghost to come and blow you to kingdom come. That's it. That's it. The fact is that without the fullness of the Spirit, we inevitably move into inconsistency, indifference, and ineffectiveness in the things of God. No need for you to argue, because you're a living proof of it. Without the work of the Holy Spirit, a man from India came to view the American church. He stayed a number of weeks. When he went to leave, they asked him, "What did you think of the American church?" He said, "I'm absolutely amazed about how much you get done without the Holy Spirit." That's what he said. All right. Then we should be filled. Back up to that last statement, Joe. Thank you. Back up to that last statement. Would you read there? I should be filled with the Spirit. Read it again.
I should be filled with
the Spirit. Read it again.
I should be filled.
Are you sure?
Yes.
All right, let's go. If I should be filled, I can. Read it with me. If I can be filled, I will. If I will, the best time is now. If I should, can, and will, I must have some workable understanding of what it is, and I'm not going to try to interfere with myself from here on, so just follow me, okay? What is it to be filled? What is it to be filled? I am controlled by whatever or whoever fills me. If I am filled with anger, anger controls me. If I am filled with excitement, excitement controls me. If I'm filled with lust, lust controls me. If I'm filled with love, love controls me. If I'm filled with the Spirit controls me. Don't be afraid of what it means. Filled is an issue of control. If you're filled with liquor, you're drunk. How do you get drunk? Do you know how to get drunk? I've not been drunk but once as a teenager. I didn't enjoy it. I didn't remember anything about it. But I was so sick afterwards, I knew it wasn't a good thing. But I knew how. I know yet how to get drunk. You drink enough of the silly stuff until it gets in your bloodstream, circles through your brain, and your brain becomes pickled, and you think about the mentality of a pickle level. You're drunk. You're intoxicated. Can I tell you the simplest way to get filled with the Spirit? Consume the Spirit. Come to Jesus and drink, and you'll be filled with the Spirit. How to be filled on a continuous basis? Keep on drinking what caused you to get drunk. All right. What is the filling of the Spirit? Read it with me, please. It is a fact of Scripture. I must believe it. Now, it would be a fact of Scripture if there's only one in the Bible on it, Ephesians 5:18. But we're going to chase through these, and you know what they are. Paul was filled in Acts 9:17, 19. We already saw that. Paul commanded it, Ephesians 5:18. Be filled with the Spirit. John the Baptist was filled at birth. Dear Lord, what a deal. He was filled when he was born. And you'll get some hint as to when it happened. His mother Elizabeth was filled when he leaped in her womb as a 6-month fetus. There's something in the spiritual realm of dynamics where in that little preconscious mind, he was programmed to go off when he saw, when he heard, when he knew in the Spirit what was happening. So Mary walked in and said, "Elizabeth," that babe heard her voice and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit and began to prophesy. "Blessed art thou among women, blessed is the fruit of your womb. Blessed are you because you believe that which God has said. But who am I that the mother of my Lord should come and visit me?" Did not have one clue what she was saying, but the Holy Spirit dynamic took in and she was filled with the Spirit. As Zechariah was filled with the Spirit when John the Baptist was born. He was a little late, had trouble with his belief system, got lockjaw for 9 months. But when reality came, the first thing that happened, he was filled with the Spirit and began to prophesy the first time he talked in 9 months. The early Christians were filled with the Spirit. In Acts 2:4, they were all filled with the Holy Spirit. Cloven tongues of fire sat upon each of them. They were baptized in the wind, this side to this side, that side to this side, here to up here. The place was full of a tornadic wind, and they were caught in it. Cloven tongues sat on them, and they were all 120 of them filled with the Holy Spirit. The first members of the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, all were filled with the Spirit. Preacher, you're not dreaming to pray for every member of your fellowship to be filled with the Spirit. Every member, you may have to decrease the membership some, but they all ought to be filled with the Spirit. They were praying in a certain place in Acts 4:31, and suddenly they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and began to speak the Word of God with boldness. In 1352, Paul and Barnabas were kicked out of the city. They didn't go say, "Oh, we offered them the best we had," and they ran and said, no, they shook the dust off their feet and were filled with joy and the Holy Ghost. Now that's the way you handle opposition, preacher. Peter was filled with the Holy Spirit. How many of you have ever identified with old Peter? Dear Lord, always saying something at the wrong time or doing the right thing at the wrong place. He was the crown prince of the unexpected. Kept his foot in his mouth half the time, wondered why he couldn't walk straight. That is Peter. I mean, don't you know that every one of the disciples said, "Peter, for goodness sake," Jesus yelled out across the waves. And Peter said, "Lord, if it's you, bid me..." He just said, "It's he. If it's you, bid me come to you." And the disciples said, "Peter..." And Peter climbed over that boat ridge and went to Jesus. Peter. But started sinking. Don't criticize him. Jesus came along, dragged him up, and they finished the job together. He walked back to the boat on the top of the water. Now he's filled with the Spirit. Preaches a message. Thousands are converted. First deacons were filled. How many deacons do we have here tonight? I'm not going to jump on you. Just raise your hand. Goodness gracious. First, one of the primary qualifications for deaconship is to be filled with the Spirit. If you're not a Spirit-filled man, it may not have been your fault you've been deaconized. But you can get over it. You can get over that. You get filled with the Spirit or you quit being a deacon right now. You can't be a deacon. Not a New Testament deacon without the fullness of the Holy Spirit. Don't be a lie. Well, let's go on, Joe. Secondly, it's a revelation I must receive. And I won't say much about this except to say you can't be saved without revelation. You can't even know you're a sinner without revelation. You can't know about the vicarious death of Jesus without revelation. You can't repent without revelation. You can't be filled with the Holy Spirit. I've been preaching this for 30 years. When I first started preaching it, somehow I knew that we'd get to the place where it'd be popular. And we'd write little tracts on it, how to be filled. Push, pull, click, click. Get filled with the Spirit that quick. And a lot of people are going through the forms but are not being filled. They see the facts, but the Holy Spirit is never allowed to make them the force of a revelation. Are you with me? When you say, "God, I believe it, I want the revelation," and you'll see these things. This is what you'll see. It'll be a revelation of His indwelling, His living in you, wanting all of you. A revelation of God's desire for you to be filled. A revelation of the futility of trying to do this thing in the flesh. Are you about convinced, preacher, that this can't be done by committees? Are you about convinced that this can't be done by the latest denominational program? If the Holy Ghost doesn't do it, it won't get done. And if it seems like it's done, it won't last. When will we learn that it's not in methods? Praise God for methods, but they better be secondary to the presence and power of the Holy Spirit. We've had enough evangelistic programs. We've had millions trained. But their incentives last a little while and they die. Listen, get the Holy Spirit geared to these methods. That's the reason God is being gracious to Baptists. That's the reason He's waiting on us. We're solid in the Word. We're people who love the Word. We're tied to methods. We're a responsible people. We're a giving people. But God is waiting for us to open up to the Holy Spirit. A revelation of the absolute necessity of being filled. Listen to me. This is no optional matter. You say, "I just haven't heard that much preaching. I figured it wasn't that important." Well, that's wrong. You're either a Holy Spirit-filled person, or you're an inevitable backslider into inconsistency. And you'll never be any different. You may rededicate your life 14 times a month. You may come into every new fad of trying to improve your Christianity. You may go to seminars and go through books and workbooks. But until you're filled with the Holy Spirit, it's not going to work. No, it won't work. Thirdly, being filled with the Holy Spirit, read it with me, is an event
We need to experience it.
I don't know why when we get to that point, most everybody gets nervous. You wouldn't mind another experience with God, would you? Did you quit having them when you got born again? Was that the end? If it was, it was the front end. Anything happened since? Anybody ever tell you this was an event? I'll tell you what's ideal. What's ideal is what happened to Paul. God sent somebody by hours after he was saved. Said, Brother Saul, you're blind. You need to receive your sight and be filled with the Holy Ghost. He was baptized and filled and lived full. I'm glad he had that several years. How long in Arabia? Number of years. Kept him out of church so he wouldn't have to backslide to be able to have fellowship. Probably been good for you to spend 10 or 12 years out in the wilderness getting acquainted with a God of heaven more than a God that has been whittled down and diluted to the size of our human minds. It is an experience for all the above, and thus for us the fullness of the Spirit is a time-space happening, a beginning, not the end, a willful experience of choice. You don't have to do things God's way. But if you don't, you're going to get hurt. It's the size of it. All right? The filling of the Holy Spirit is not just a truth to be believed, a revelation to be received, an event to be experienced, but it's a relationship. We must continue it. Some of you congratulate yourself on the baptism of the Spirit. It is not automatically in continuum. You must continue to be filled, or you get in worse shape than you were before you were baptized in the Spirit. Let's look at it. A relationship of continued commitment and repentance. Read it with me. A relationship. Yes, a relationship of continued devotion and intimacy, a relationship of continued submission and obedience. Look at those. We'll look at some other words in a minute to talk about how to continue to be filled. Let's continue, Joe. Thank you. All right, let's review it. The filling of the Holy Spirit is one, a fact to be believed, a revelation to be received, an event to be experienced, a relationship to be continued. How can I be filled now? Well, I've heard 3 steps, 4 steps, 8 steps, 12 steps. I'm worn out by steps. Let's go to the Scripture. Here it is. John chapter 7, 37, 39. Let's read it, please. On the last and greatest day of the feast, Jesus stood and said, "If anyone is thirsty, let him come to me. Whoever believes in me, as the Scripture said, streams of living water will flow from within him." By this he meant the Spirit, whom those who believed on him would later receive. Up to that time, the Spirit had not yet been given, since Jesus had not yet been glorified. Let's continue with the Scripture, please. In Luke 11:13, let's read it. "If you then, though you're evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven..." You did it. Give the Holy Spirit to those who... let's back up. I like that. Isn't that cute? "If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more shall your Father in heaven... Give the Holy Spirit to those who ask Him." Isn't that complicated? Isn't that complicated? If at breakfast this morning you say, "Please pass the hash browns," you can be filled with the Holy Spirit. It's just not complicated, folks. Let's go on. 1 John 5, 14 and 15. Read that with me, please. "This is the confidence we have in approaching God, that if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. And if we know He hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have what we ask of Him." Let me tell you what that simply means. Tonight, you can come to Him, ask Him for the filling of the Holy Spirit. Is it His will that you be filled? Is it? Then what if you know that's His will? You know He's heard you pray. If you know He's heard you pray, you know you have what you ask for. You may not feel one thing differently. It may come later. Forget it. Whatever God wants to do. I don't guarantee you anything emotional is going to happen. You may register no emotion whatever, but I want you to know that the Word of God is more important than any physical manifestation or emotional feeling. John 20:22, that marvelous, mysterious verse. And with that, Jesus breathed on them and said, "Be filled." I like what receive the Spirit. Receive the Spirit. I like what Brother Charles says. He says he doesn't believe there was just one great big blow of Jesus. I like what he says. He said he just went to each one of them and said, now, folks, I'm going to be honest with you. I don't know what happened. Brother Charles thinks everybody was saved right then. And I if that's so, I say amen. Amen. But I can tell you what happened 10 days later. The big blow came. Jesus went around going, and on the day of Pentecost, God went, and they went, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit. Corporate baptism. Individual baptism, corporate filling, personal filling. And they were all filled with the Spirit. The command of Paul, be filled with the Spirit. We're about done. Ephesians 5:18 is best understood when we break down the grammatical construction. I really, when I understood this, it helped me a whole lot. Are you ready? You English majors and minors and no English at all, listen. The command, read it with me, is present intense. That is, it's linear. It's continuous. Secondly, it is passive in voice. The subject doesn't act. The subject allows itself to be acted upon. It is imperative in mood, a non-optional command. It is plural in number, unspecified, addressed to all. And when he says tonight to this crowd, be filled with the Spirit, you say, well, it couldn't have been me. I'm old. I'm retired. Couldn't be me. I've never taught a Bible line in my life. Listen to me. It is an unspecified plural. You all are to be filled with the Spirit. And this is the way it ought to read. This is the way it ought to read. All of you must always be being filled with the Spirit. That command has come to every one of you. You will live the rest of your life dealing with that command. You don't have to do it. God won't make you do it. But you will be out of fellowship with God until you let it be done. All right, summary and review, and we're through. What a wonderful product. We can all be filled with the Spirit. If we can, we should. If we should, we should be filled now, here, tonight. Agreed? Some of you are looking at me saying, is this going to be a long, drawn-out process? Probably for you, yes. Okay. In review, the words which we've seen, the words which have come to us in Scripture, these, come, drink, thirst, I desire. Come, I decide. Drink, I receive. Overflow, He does it. Come boldly and ask. Those are the words, simply those. If you want to make steps out of them, fine. Just receive. Okay? That's just straight out of Scripture, okay? Believe, receive, and have. Huh. Well, I want to talk to you just a bit now before we pray. How to go on being filled, I need to tell you in advance. Ephesians 5:19-6:9 give us two things. What happens when people are filled with the Spirit? Just automatically they start doing this. But also, it's how you stay filled. Both things. It's what Spirit-filled people do. And it's how people stay filled with the Spirit. Look at it. Just look at the list. Look at the list. Happy communication. Speaking yourselves among yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Pleasant, harmonious, happy communication. How would that be if your church suddenly became happy and harmonious in communication? Instead of saying, yeah, this is what I think. Boy, I'm telling you, that'd be worth it all right there. Continued thanksgiving. Continued. How many times have you heard somebody gripe? It's the greatest indoor sport for Christians in America. Gripe, gripe, gripe. We have more griping per square inch than any place in the world. Most of the world spends their time feeding their hungry bellies. We get full and gripe. Continued thanksgiving. Mutual submission. Submitting ourselves to one another in the fear of the Lord. Wifely submission. Listen to me, wives. The world may have thrown a fit when we decided that it was something worth saying that wives ought to be submissive to their husband. Didn't go over too well, did it? Didn't keep it from being true. If you're a Spirit-filled wife, or if you're a wife wanting to get filled with the Spirit, let me tell you, you're going to need to bow in submission to your husband, even if he's an idiot. Well, you say, amen. I've got one. You say, well, I don't trust him. Hey, if you'll do what God said, get out of God's way, he'll deal with him. Give God a chance. I'll get to you husbands. Husbands, love your wives. If you don't, he'll fix you, especially if she's a submissive wife. Well, you ain't been in trouble till you get in trouble with him. And your wife does what God tells her to do. And if you're going to be a Spirit-filled husband, he might be gracious and fill you with the Holy Spirit, but you won't be filled for 24 hours. And the first evidence of your not being a loving husband, it's gone. Can't be continued in your fullness without being a husband who loves and washes his wife with communication in the Word. Well, we go on. How to go on being filled? Children, obey and honoring parents. Don't expect children to be filled with the Holy Spirit, and I don't care. You're a child. You're a child of parents until your parents die and go to heaven. You got an old mother or father. My mother's 94. Dad's in heaven. Mama's 94. I honor my mother. I send her a bushel of oranges about every month. She just consumes them. Doesn't like any other oranges but Florida oranges. Cost about $1 a piece to get them there. I want to stay filled with the Spirit. I love my mama too. But I want to stay filled with the Spirit. Fathers instructing your kids. Employees respecting. And employers responding. You see how practical this is? Now let's look at the final thing, please. Read that with me, please. To break this sequence at any point is to disrupt the flow of the fullness of the Spirit. These issues are crucial with a life in the Spirit. The person filled faces a revision of lifestyle. Now look at me, I'm through. You've been wonderful to listen. I'm through, but you're not. Do you think we ought to go on? Okay. There may be four kinds, at least three kinds of people here tonight. There may be four. Those who've never trusted Christ as Savior. I haven't preached an evangelistic sermon, but if I had been lost and heard a message like this and knew that salvation in Christ involved something like this, I believe I'd have run over somebody to get there. And this is what's in store for you just by coming to Jesus Christ. Then there are those who have been filled, who've been baptized in the Spirit. You know what it is to have that rush. And you know what it is to live in those days when power was flowing through you, but you've lost the rhythm. You got your eyes on something else. Probably more miserable than you were when you lost. Probably more miserable than people who had never been filled Because you remember what it was like. You know what needs to happen to you tonight? You need to get filled with the Spirit. There are those who've never been filled. I don't condemn you, because most of you are that way because you've never heard. Never been told by credible witnesses. It's never been brought home to you with force. You thought that was something for the elect of the elite. You thought that was something for leadership and preachers. Folks, this is for every Christian, every person under the sun. Now, there may be those who are being filled. You have been filled. You're being filled. But the thing you need is to move up a notch. Get some strongholds out of you. Be stretched a little. And come to a new level of the flow of fullness. I go to Alaska about every other year. Love to go. Go to Fairbanks. Up from Fairbanks, a good many miles, Prudhoe Bay. That Alaska pipeline starts and goes all the way down, crisscrossing highways and so on. Underground some, overground other. And it goes all the way down to Valdez to fill the ships to bring oil to our country and other places. That thing is 4 feet in diameter. 4 feet in diameter. When it's clean and flowing, millions of gallons can flow in a matter of hours. Every once in a while, they have a machine driven by the velocity of the oil called a pig. And those things are inserted at place now and again. And driven by the flow of the oil, they begin to circle and cut the pollution off the edge. And when they get to where they go, that part of the pipeline is clear. Some of you got your pipeline dirty. You need to get up to date in your praying. You need to get rid of relationships and situations. You need to update your prayer life. It's time for a new measure of fullness. I don't believe any person here needs to go away without a blessing. And if you're going to get a blessing, you might as well get the big one. You might as well just go for it.